What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Swolecast here, off-season Swolecast, where you never know what we're going to talk about. It is wide-ranging. You can for sure know that we're talking NFL, though, on today's show. Right, Pete?
Wouldn't have it any other way. We built this show brick by brick on, you know, actionable fantasy advice, and I don't see any reason to stop now, Dave.
Yeah. So Davis, Tuttle, you guys doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. I hope so, Tuttle's doing the same.
Yeah. So if you don't mind, I'd like to, just focus in on Peter. Pete, you good?
It's eating some leftover sweet potato fries, Dave.
Oh, so it's leftovers. All right. You want to break the news? Well, you want to say to the people that don't follow you on Twitter, all the
swole heads.
Yeah.
Yeah. That watch the show that don't follow you on Twitter. You want to tell them today's big news?
Yeah. So, Better Collective gave me a giant raise for doing these Swolecast appearances, and it allowed me to leave my job. And so, shout out to Dan Bach for signing off on $5,000 an episode.
Yep.
I'm a little worried about being able to deliver on that price tag, but I'm certainly going to try.
Yep. Here's to unemployment. Cheers, bud.
What is that? What are you drinking there?
A orange grapefruit. Aha. Sparkling Cheers. Water.
Cheers. How did it feel, Peter, to be overzetted and ratioed on your own tweet by Adam Levitan?
Dude, I saw that tweet come in. Like, you know how, like, if you're in the Twitter app and like it refreshes in your mentions and you see it. And when I saw it refresh, it already had 20 likes. And I was like, oh shit. Like being like within an instant, I was like, yep. All right. He got me.
It's like, you know, when someone's got you.
I knew immediately. You just got to wave the white flag.
Yeah. As a target of someone who has gotten frequently. I know it. I just go, I'm not like Davis and try to dig up old tweets from Levitan from like 2014. Just go with it. So you feeling good though about this unemployment and kind of betting on yourself?
Yeah. Something was going to have to give, and it was either making fantasy football comedy or
doing
having
your
the
day
safety
job.
Of a day job, and I chose fantasy football comedy, Dave.
Well, if anyone can work hard and achieve their dreams, it's it's Evan Silva. But other than that,
in a very off-brand Swolecast moment, it was so cool this week to see Corain get a full-time job at NBC Sports Edge and see Pete finally break off from the day job to do what makes him truly happy. And also not hasn't been on the show, but Kyle Dvorak, who also got hired full-time by NBC Sports Edge. It's very cool to see the come up of my buddies.
Well, not say Roto World any longer? Like, is that just like forbidden?
You can say it, but it's just not the name of the company.
Yeah, but like, I feel like when you say NBC Sports Edge, you should say like maybe the company formerly known as Roto World, NBC Sports Edge.
You know, for the younger listeners out there that might not know about the history of the site,
they don't know the bricks that were laid with Roto World.
I will say and also Jack Miller got a gig, I believe, freelancing for ETR despite his epic snub of us, which I don't know how he pulled that off. I thought he was a pariah in the industry.
I thought he was blacklisted, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. Lots. And this is like when the moving pieces start. And then we, in a month, we'll have a little over a month, we'll have Scott Fishbowl. And we'll kind of start the really big ascension of fantasy football. And Peter, that's when you will no longer have a life.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Yeah. I'm going to probably be checking in with you. I'm sure I'll hit some kind of dark points where I'm kind of questioning my decision. And I will need a mentor to kind of steer me through that valley of the shadow of content death.
Yeah, I'll just tell you, listen, we'll just hire you full time. Okay. And that way you can brush your teeth for the first time in 6 days.
If you really think about it, all of these recent hirings, they all come back to Kitchen, because Kitchen gave Overzet a platform. Overzet's best friend is Patrick Corain. you know, and so I think that Dave is obviously, you know, all of the success of Peter's YouTube channel. You can ascribe that to Dave and, you know, Corrine getting
I'm not all of this. Like, I'm just part of it. Like, you can't. I can't take full credit. The guy's the hardest working guy in the industry. And just to see that and to give him a chance, and the rest is up to him. And you know what? He took the ball like Derrick Henry and he ran with it all the way to the end zone.
I hope I catch passes this year.
I'm just happy we get more overset streams. There wasn't enough. I'm just happy. Well,
that's the thing I'm a little worried about is everyone's like, can't wait to see what you do now. I'm like, guys, I was pretty maxed out. Like, it's probably going to be a lot of what I was already doing. Like, come on.
I mean,
when do you feel like you starting a morning chess stream was a little bit of a jumping the shark moment?
Dude, I mean, I'm at the point now where people slide into my DMs with a pitch like that. And I just say, yes. I mean, at this point, if someone wants to teach me how to, like, I don't know, play hopscotch on stream, I'm probably saying yes. So, it is what it is.
What partnerships are you aiming for with, now that you're unemployed?
I would definitely like people to pay me to talk about them. I am open to those arrangements, Dave.
Okay. I didn't know if you had any specific energy drink or
what would be the peak? What would be the aspiration?
Beef jerky.
Ooh, like if I could influence a single product.
Oh, let's go around the table for this. Actually, everyone gets to choose the one thing they could influence.
Okay, Davis. It sounds like you have one.
No. Yeah, I want to hear from you first.
For me, it's Lineup HQ. I mean, it's just
at rotogrinders.com.
I did shout out to Ross. I did hit him up because I want to get in the DFS tennis streets. And Roto Grinders, the only people out there with a good Lineup HQ optimizer for tennis. So I'm gearing up for the French Open, and I will be using Lineup HQ, my preferred optimizer for DFS tennis.
I hope
also fear my turtle, yes. Who's
crushed. With a
stone yes. goat.
He does provide tags in Lineup HQ.
I do have one note on the tags in there, because I was in there. I played the little small ball on Sunday when I registered for there. This is graphic design here. So his cash plays are red,
and the
other is purple. And I mean, can we just get like a little differentiation in the color palette there?
That should be like a kitchen thing, right?
Yeah, just like a blue, purple, green.
How much have you played tennis before, DFS tennis?
Literally, this was my first time on the Monday
slate. Oh my, you have to document this because you will get you'll get the walkovers, the withdrawals. Yeah. There's so many upsets. You're going to be so pissed off. It's a glorious sport.
All right. I'm going to get in there. I mean, even like looking at the contest lobbies, I mean, it's pretty sad. Maybe we can inject some life into the DFS tennis lobbies here.
It's one of the DFS sports where you can literally just go to Lineup HQ, hit randomize, spit out lineups, play that, and not be stone dead, because pretty much anything can happen on any day in tennis.
That's why it's the perfect sport for me. What were you going to say, Davis?
I have another good bit for you to do. So the European Soccer Championships are coming up. They have 100K to first on June 12th. I think a video of you trying to figure out how the fuck to play soccer DFS and mangle through the Lineup HQ for it. I think that would be good stuff.
Why do I feel like this ends with Blender yelling at me about my lineups?
It does. It literally does. It's literally like, why would you do that? Why you play anyone you want except for that guy?
Yeah, that DFS soccer sounds very intimidating.
Yeah, I agree. Especially when
DFS soccer is fun.
It gets intense though, especially if like someone didn't. I remember back in the old, I'm not sure if they still have this problems, but in the old days, like if someone didn't document an assist correctly or a cross or something,
it really used to be the wild, wild west in terms of like,
that's not a thing anymore, really.
Yeah. It used to be pretty, I mean, the Sofyan Fagouli Galatasaray goal, it's like, I'll never forget it. It was one of the worst.
Did you just start speaking Italian?
Yeah, 100%.
What just happened?
No, it was, Tuttle, I assume you were playing back then. It was like this very monumental, hundreds of thousands of dollars swinging hands. DK was running a huge tournament and they miscredited this guy's points. And it was like talking to the guys from Opta. It was a whole big thing. Matt Birnbach, our friend, was involved. Everyone was complaining to him. It was a big deal.
Wow. I mean, one of the bonuses of getting into DFS soccer is I could use the time that we record this show to make my lineups, from what I hear.
Correct. Tuttle's doing it right now.
We got a slate starting in 15 minutes, my guy.
Oh my gosh. All right. So Davis, what is your thing you would want? What's the peak thing that you want to promote?
I mean, so like realistically, it would be like Diet Coke, because I drink a ton of Diet Coke, and that would be amazing to not have to spend any money on that. That would be, which is not a funny answer. So
Zero? Because I'm a huge Coke Zero guy. Do you like Diet Coke over Coke Zero?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my, you are such a maxi. Oh my God. You're such a
Diet Coke maxi.
How many cans do you drink a day, Davis? Or like how many ounces?
Oh, like not, I don't even have one every day. I'm not a sloth.
I dated a girl in college that drank six Diet Cokes a day, like legit six Diet Cokes a day.
That was what my mom and her sisters were like for a long time. She has five sisters, and they would get together and they would just absolutely crush Diet Cokes. Like I have these visions of my childhood of like my mom hanging out with her friends, and then I would see the lipstick like on the Diet Coke cans, like when they were all
yes,
done. Like
yes,
that is 100%. Like early 90s for me, all in a nutshell right there.
Yeah.
I was drinking at least 1 to 2 cans a day of Diet Coke, or not Coke, a cherry Coke Zero or Coke Zero. And then I was like, I can't be doing this. Like it, cause it just, you just need to drink water. That's all you need to drink. Because there was that time after I lost, you know, all that weight that I gained some back, and now I'm
How's that going?
It's tough. Planet Fitness just opened back up this week. They just opened back up this week. So Hot Dad Summer is going to be starting ASAP.
The only problem is Dairy Queen's proximity to that Planet Fitness.
Dairy Queen and Culver's and all the end of year celebrations for the kids. It's been rough, but Coke Zero or Diet Coke for Davis. That's such a 50-year-old answer. All right. Tuttle, what's yours?
I mean, I can't think of a good one, so I'm going to go with this recently found half pillow that I put behind my back. It really saves my back during the day. It's actually,
is that from a dead guy's house?
No. my wife actually bought it. It's a pregnancy thing. The company Boppy. Dave knows Boppy, but it's like a quarter pillow, and I use it for my back now, and it's very, very comfortable.
There is like this like C pillow or U pillow, whatever it is that pregnant women use to sleep with on their sides. And I use that. I used that and it was amazing. Like I might have to get one because it's like,
it holds the belly fat up.
It's cuddling with yourself. Like it's so good.
I just had $1 million influencer, like new TikTok/Instagram idea for you. It's a dad who repurposes items for pregnant women for their own use. And you go through how you've been able to co-opt those to make your own life better.
Dad maternity influencing.
She's right. <they're> down.
There's sounds like kitchen would grind that very well. Yeah.
would have to like go looking for stuff. But that could get interesting really quick.
Imagine Kitchen just having like the longest list of ideas that if he ever got around to them, they would all be $1 million ideas.
If he wasn't so busy during the day.
So busy, guys.
There is, there is definitely this NFT, crypto, everything else. And I think we talked about last show, but it's starting to come to an end. Like I'm gonna fast this summer from anything NFT or crypto related. Not check Moment Ranks, not check any sort of portfolio, just enjoy life and just be on social media like the old days. Like, whatever happened to just being on social media all the time and that was it?
We've come a long way from you not mentioning Darius Garland and Bitcoin Angel every other sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to bring up the Darius Garland prices.
Dude, don't go look at the price I paid. It's like one of the worst financial transactions of my life.
Here's the thing. If you don't need to sell Top Shots right now, then just don't. Yeah. This is like the worst. This is the bottom. And
I don't know. I'm not ready to call bottom.
Hush. On Club Top Shot though, it was like the sober Club Top Shot last night when they were talking about Top Shots. But I do think like there was with talking about like buying pressure, like there could be everyone else is holding, but if two or three people are trying to sell and there's no buying pressure for that, then it's just going to tank evaluations because they're just going to keep on undercutting each other. And that's
Hold up.
Yeah.
It's the playoffs. Didn't Kitchen say that the values would go up during the playoffs?
Finals. It's the finals, Tuttle. It's the finals.
Oh, my bad.
I think you've had enough victory laps around this. Like, I don't. Let's just all cheer together that that Dapper opens up the marketing wall. We could be sponsored by Dapper
next week.
Yeah, like.
We'll have to replace Tuttle.
Tuttle would be replaced.
Tuttle's going to be replaced by Eric Belair.
I've done plenty of transactions on their site, and I'm a user of their site.
Tuttle is still there with me every drop, grinding out our $6 in EV. He's there.
It's not even that anymore.
I actually missed one of the last like pack drops, I think. That just shows you. I'm just trying to get away from it. I didn't.
Once they add badges, it's game over, baby.
Can I just say one last thing on the
Go ahead with your thread. Tuttle,
is this from the Bear channel?
Mr. Fuddle 05 IMO?
Okay. If you guys will just admit to saying that the community was pretty hostile towards people that weren't completely all in, then I will not speak ill of Top Shots no more.
We get Tuttle. You had negative people in your mentions.
People were mean to you on Twitter, dude.
We understand. Like, it's going to happen. Anytime you're like anti something that everyone else is like pro during that moment, like you're going to get.
But I wasn't even anti, is the thing. I was measured.
Like, who hurt you, like, specifically?
I mean, I don't know, but there.
Now is the time to call them out because you were
all
right.
So, I have a point similar to what Dave just brought up. That's not interrogating Tuttle and putting him raking over the coals. I made a bet with Dan Smith this week that we were not allowed to check the prices. Every time you checked the price of cryptos, you had to pay $20 to charity. I gotta say, It's been a good mental health week. It's just to not know
that bet's easy to do in a bear market. That bet's hard when things are pumping.
Yeah.
Well, the idea wasn't for it to be hard or easy. The idea was to preserve my mental health.
Okay. So you like even when like I probably look like once every 3 or 4 days now. You're still looking regularly if you didn't have a bet in place.
The opposite is true for me. I never look when things are good because what's the point? I'm not selling anyways. So it would just be me fantasizing about things that I'd be doing with this money that I'm never going to access. But when it's going down, it's like capitulation porn where it's like, oh my God, I'm down X, Y, and Z today. This is the worst thing ever. And it's not a good mental space for me to be in.
Gotcha. So here's the thing that's directly relatable to DFS too, right?
Yes,
like, for actually sure. Sweating the contest is can't be good, not at all. Like,
and which I don't really do anymore.
I do too much still, but I've learned not to. I'll go to bed, but I used to not be able to like go to bed. I'd have to stay up and sweat all the contests.
So what I will do is I won't check DraftKings or FanDuel. I know the team I stacked in like single entry or whatever, and I will go on the MLB at bat app, and if they are you know, I stack the Angels and they have three runs in the third inning or whatever, then I will continually check it. But if they're dusting off already, then I'm just like, whatever, I'm out for the night.
Kitchen, right. How do you sweat DFS these days?
I don't. But come football season, I will be sweating DFS again. Like,
so if you're not playing DFS and you're fasting from NFTs, what are you doing?
What are you
right
doing?
I don't think when you have kids, you will realize there is this like 2 week period at the end of the school year where you're going to like some sort of something, and you got like, I mean, it's like 6 days a week you're dealing with like kid stuff, and then after that, you're done.
Do you have one girl in that plays sports now, or are they getting? Do you have more?
Just one. But
dude, it's bad.
I am coach dad, and then we also have like, you know, three girls in school, and every like they have a program a different day of the week, and you know, it's a lot. But we're done. Today was the last day of school, so
hot dad summer.
Hot
summer. Have you seen Julio Jones? You know, you've been out at the practice fields, you've been out, yeah, you know, at the middle schools and stuff. Have you seen Julio Jones, you know, working out with AJ Brown in the offseason yet?
I haven't yet, but I'll find him. I also want to get a good workout in with Darius Garland. But let me just say that with Julio Jones, I think always Julio is what I will say for the Titans. I mean, I think he's going to be in the Titans uniform. And if that happens,
I mean, I don't.
I might not wear pants for the whole entire season.
I have two things. One, I hate seeing Dave happy. But two, you can't really disagree that it's like the nut spot because they have absolutely no depth for secondary pass catchers like Josh Reynolds and Anthony Firkser and Dez Fitzpatrick are like the number two options. And they pick later in the 20s anyway. So even if they gave up a first, it's like not that big of a deal. I feel like it does kind of make sense for them to do it.
There will never be the offensive juggernaut that the Titans are with an amazing running back and two awesome wide receivers.
The Titans will be the best first half team in football before Julio and AJ Brown exit the game with injuries.
And then it's Dean Ember season. And then it's just hand the ball to Derrick Henry.
Are you worried? Are you worried about the departure of Arthur Smith and the replacement of him by Todd Downing?
Honestly, I think Arthur Smith's going to do good there at Atlanta. People
You think a former Titan is going to do well? That's interesting.
I think the way that he called plays and the way like people were down on him because he was just the tight end coach for the Titans and then got promoted.
You know,
but he
his
was
actual
like,
story, right?
He was at FedEx. So like he is, but he's like I feel like he's a sharp offensive coordinator. And I hope that the replacement Downing is going to be as sharp. Speaking of sharp, nobody gave me credit for breaking a story 4 days before Field Yates did.
Why do you have a screwdriver right now?
Don't know, but it was on my desk. I think it was because I had to screw in bunk beds the other night. But anyways, Tajae Sharpe to the Falcons. And I called it before anybody, like 4 days before anybody. And I got no credit for it.
Come clean. Was this a well-timed joke or?
No, this is a boots on the ground take. Okay. This was an inside source.
He was okay. Then how was he on the Chiefs roster for a couple days? Cause that was a thing. He was on the Chiefs roster when I was updating projections before the draft.
I mean, Twitter search, Tajae Sharpe, Falcons, first one. This guy didn't get credit,
insider.
But that's okay. I just want people on this show to know I've got sources. That's unlike Davis, where he like says he has sources and they never pan out.
The linebacker coach for the Cowboys or something.
This one did pan out.
When Kitchen says he didn't get any credit, I am looking at his May 24th tweet about it.
He's like two likes. Yeah.
Dude.
So Soccer Dave's
Twitter game, like he's got 20,000 followers, and this dude routinely puts out tweets with like no, and I don't understand how it's even possible to have this many followers and literally no interaction.
Did you buy your followers kitchen?
No, I didn't. But I might have to buy some more. It's
one of Kitchen's most recent tweets is him retweeting himself saying Wiggins has been brutal. One retweet by himself for
that was
faves.
Like an in-game tweet. You can't count those. Those are in-game tweets. They don't do like huge numbers.
Those are tough to refrain from because you want to get a thought out.
You want to comment on it during the game.
They get no traction.
And Davis, you go back and delete them. I don't. I just
correct.
I don't even know.
That's what a sane person would do. Is if your tweet gets no traction, you get rid of it.
Here's my take. I'm anti retweeting yourself. I'm pro threading and replying to the original tweet. I think that's the move.
The sad thing is Kitchen retweeted himself and got zero likes on his on his two like tweet.
It was a late night NBA game. Come on. Wiggins was brutal in that game though.
Game has serious Davidson NCAA tourney vibes.
That's because of Steph Curry doing everything and nobody else was like
he was. Kitchen, this is social media 101. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on here behind the scenes. So you say Wiggins has been brutal. You get some engagement. Big Jim 1717 says, isn't he always brutal? You don't reply to him.
I'm past it.
You're having a conversation. You're trying to solicit your community to engage with you. And then you just leave them hanging, Dave.
I should have just liked it. I mean, did I like it?
No.
I should have. I'm sorry, Jim.
It is unreal how all of your best tweets include my handle in them. My handle or my name. Just 100% of your tweets that get over 10 faves have either my name or my handle in them.
Or some sort of like dad of, whatever. But yes, that is the key. I mean, that if I wanted to just do that, then that'd be what I would do.
Honestly, this has been therapeutic for me because my Twitter game has been struggling lately. It's refreshing to go look at Kitchen's Twitter and not feel
but
too
see
bad
I'm not
myself.
I'm not trying for I'm not like
yeah,
thirsty
he's not
for
trying.
Likes
yeah
it's just me.
I will say
I am thirsty for likes on the Tajay Sharp to the Falcons call though because it legit happened.
I will say, I think we definitely, or at least I'll just speak for myself. I definitely alienated a lot of fantasy people from all the NFT top shot stuff where when you're just tweeting about fantasy football, like if you're just making a joke within that general thing, like it's going to do pretty decent.
They've all
muted me. They're like, this guy's just talking about NFT projects. Like I'm over it.
Okay. See, I feel like I've done the Denny Carter thing where you would only ever follow me if you like my specific brand of douchebaggery. Like there are not people who are still hanging around for my tweets who are like, on the fence about me. Like those people have moved on years ago.
No, I think you get people who hate follow you like they do Denny.
Oh yeah. That was Davis's following for a long time.
Oh, it was. It was like people that love to just like, gathering of negativity, as we would say. Peter, you got tweeted twice by TMR, Mr. Matthew Berry, as a follow Friday on Thursday and then again on Friday. What was the bump there? Like how many followers?
I think I probably got like 50 each one.
What's the biggest bump? What's the biggest one day bump you guys have ever gotten in Twitter follows?
Dude, there was this weird pump I remember like 2 years ago in the summer around Scott Fishbowl where it was almost like there was some list or something that was circulating and everyone was following it and there was like 300 or 400 follows in one day. That's the only one I can remember.
Pretty sure that's when I announced that you were coming on the Swolecast.
Honestly, it was probably a Silva bump.
I remember mine. I even remember what I was doing because I was like so glued to my phone I couldn't believe it. I was outside at K-State. I probably smoking a cigarette and Evan either had came on my podcast or we did something together. This was like 6-7 years ago. And he was like, yada, yada, Davis Maddock. He's the only guy seriously doing X, Y, or Z. And I remember getting like 1200 followers and being like, this is the most amazing thing ever.
I mean, I don't tweet about anything like in particular that's interesting. I'm not like an expert or thought leader.
I don't say anything interesting
in anything. Right. So I'm just I'm just a normal guy. Like Tuttle should have more followers because he is like an actual expert in a sport. So like,
see, that's my problem though. I don't tweet enough about sports.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You need to be like Cardi and be like, or like tweeting out like WOBA splits and stuff.
The 100%. Truth about Twitter to that point is like to be an actual thought leader. Like you have to sell your soul. It's like the equivalent of having to do clickbait titles, but having to do that constantly on Twitter over and over. And like, I can stomach myself to do one every once in a while, but I don't know how people do that over and over. Like the engagement traps where you're just like, I don't even believe this, but I know I have to say this.
Well, and the other thing is you see big fantasy accounts now, like there just is no room for truly big fantasy accounts to tweet anything other than fantasy sports stuff. Like because of how polarized all discussions are now, like there just is no room for like JJ to tweet something other than like something about the Pittsburgh Steelers running backs. Like it would just devolve into so much chaos because so many people follow him now.
I have a question for you guys that are craving, you know, those likes. Mm. So Davis and Peter here. Mm-hmm. How much does it tilt you when you see CSU Ram send out a tweet and it gets like this one? It's impossible to keep up with everything going on in crypto. That's the tweet. 62 retweets, 872 likes.
Oh my god.
CSU's a thought leader, dude.
Yeah.
Can't get mad.
I thought you were going to say, Tuttle, for those of you guys trying to get a like, David Kitchen.
Back to answering my own question about what you would want to promote. Mine, I think the top would be beef jerky. Just any sort of beef jerky deal would be what I would like to do.
I could see that. I could see you just like shirtless in all these different locations, like in a pool, just eating beef jerky while you have the kids, you know, on your arm.
Yeah. Something healthy too, please.
Pete, have you been back to the gym?
Yeah.
Did you not see somebody recognized him?
Oh,
at the
that's
gym.
Right.
Oh yep.
Yeah.
It was
the Top Shot guy.
What was funny is there's two guys that go to my gym that are roommates. And the first guy who actually approached me wasn't that familiar with me. It was his roommate being like, next time you see him, say something to that. So that guy was having, and then the following day, the actual guy who was into Top Shot, he found me and we had a nice little chat and small world out there, Dave.
Did you take a picture with him?
You know, we didn't, have the phones, you know, we're kind of had our boxing gear and stuff like that. We're just kind of living in the moment, you know?
I know, but like you tweeted
own
it
the
out.
Moment, even.
You could have. I mean, I get it. It's a special feeling.
Here's the thing: how that goes, Kitchen. I mean, you know. I mean, you get this a lot. It's like you can't offer to. You can't have someone come up to you and then say, "Do you want to take a picture?" Like they have to ask to do the picture.
Right. Yeah. You as the person being recognized can't be like, "I gotta show this to Soccer Day."
Next time it happens, I'm 100% asking that person if they want to take a picture with me.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it too. Cause I can't live to know that it's been undocumented.
Yeah. I
someone has a picture of me on their phone at Disney World and they're just trolling me. They've seen every episode and they're just trolling me and they have not released it. Anyways. All right. Back to best ball. Back to best ball. Peter.
We haven't even talked about best ball once.
Yeah.
How can we go
back? Going back to it.
Going back to it. Peter, how about we're moving around topics. Peter, how many best ball drafts have you done?
I'm up to like 25, I think. I've been doing a bunch of the slow drafts in the best ball mania. And it feels good, man. I definitely wasn't drafting this early last year. And I'm actually worried because it was last year toward the end when those contests were getting close to filling and the season started, I was just doing drafts nonstop.
Yep.
And I'm just worried if I'm starting now, is that going to hit me in like early August to where I just can't stop doing drafts?
So are you going to be a legit fantasy thought leader this year? Like not a bit, but like legit, like you're already
drafting. He already
drafting.
Is a fantasy thought leader, dude.
Already drafting. He knows what I mean though, as far as like giving legit
like are you gonna be tweeting out animated GIFs of Henry Ruggs with like corresponding asterisks?
No, never. Never.
Like how deep are you gonna get, I guess should be my question. Because you're gonna be in it, obviously, promo code Pete, but like how deep are you going to get in your toutdom?
I'm not going to be at the closest I will probably get to a tout is when I write the newsletter. We do like some waiver wire stuff and like, but that's the closest I will ever get to that. I don't have it in me, Dave.
Hey guys, Peter Overzet here. I'm going to talk to you about the five running backs you must avoid in this year's draft. The must avoid articles and videos are the worst.
Oh, especially if they take the easy way out, like a guy nobody's drafting anyways.
Yeah.
It's still though, like that shit just kills on YouTube. Like to Dave's quite like, if I just stopped just doing fucking chess streams and did like top five wide receiver sleepers, I would literally get 30,000 views and I just am physically incapable of doing it. I can't bring myself to do it.
Crane will do it though.
Crane sold out to Big Peacock, so he'll do anything.
Crane sold out to Big Football. Pretty soon, Crane is going to be coming on show saying, "We are the only ones talking about the 3-game Thanksgiving slate."
I mean, we had one guy from Big Peacock on the show, not opposed to bringing Pat back on, despite his shortcomings on the last show that he was on with us.
Yeah, I am shocked that that they didn't review kind of all.
I hope
of
they have a good trenches. Offensive line and defensive line guy, someone good in the trenches that can complement his weaknesses for sure. All right,
Dave. Dave, have you been drafting best ball?
No,
teams?
See, that's I have not.
He's
drafted
too busy.
Any?
He's too busy.
Well, I'm drafting right now in the FF Eliminator David Kitchen League.
How long did it take for that one to fill?
It's basically the league is
Pete,
like
that was low-key like an incredible roast. That was so good.
Half of the people are like the guys that just like to, you know, just rag on me. There's like no one like uplifting in that group. The other half have no clue who I am, and they're just like looking for an open league, or they were in the league the past 2 years, like, and they're just like, this is an easy league.
I love imagining those guys who watch the Swolecast and like, how can I get involved in ball busting kitchen? Well, I'll sign up for his SCE Eliminator League.
Yep. All right. So give us some best ball takes, Davis. You're on top of it.
Yeah, I've been drafting a ton. It's amazing. I know that this is an underdog show, you know, promo code Pete or whatever, but I'm drafting on all the platforms. There are a lot of good championships out there. A lot of good price points, $125 on the FFPC, $320 and $555 on DK, $10 on Drafter. So I'm aping into all of these because I am going back to the gym, gotten double vaxxed, good to go. And my favorite routine in life is to just go crank out like an hour and a half or 2 hours on the stairs and just do best ball drafts. That just really does it for me. So I've been drafting a ton.
I saw you fire off a terrible Jameis take.
I thought I still think true, but after thinking about it for a couple more days, I actually think it's more true for Taysom. I actually think that 16 games of Taysom is better, or 17 games of Taysom starting for sure is better than 17 games of Jameis.
I was confused by that Twitter debate because I did think Davis was a little overzealous, but I also think there's like no opportunity cost where he's going in drafts. Like he's so cheap. People aren't reaching for him.
So what people are arguing is that, and this is where I disagree with Leone and Bime4 and these other people, is that they are using the framework of the Saints offense for the last couple seasons for this framework that Jameis would be in. The thing is I'm pretty sure that Drew Brees' arm was so bad that them transitioning into this run heavy team actually has more to do with Drew Brees bringing this franchise icon, but really not being able to play anymore, as opposed to Sean Payton wanting to coach Bill Parcells football. And that I think that it's going to look a lot more open with Jameis at quarterback.
If that's your take, I'm down with it.
Who's going to benefit?
Good, that's a good take. That's a good
I mean,
take.
Is it literally going to be Marquez Callaway? I mean,
no,
if they are,
it's Traquan, dude.
Is, I mean, but we've tried to make Traquan a thing every single year for like
year
four years.
Five for Traquan.
It's nuts. So I don't even know if I want to, but like Jameis, if your thesis is correct, Jameis is going to push the ball downfield. Oh shit. I'm becoming a tout right now. But I mean, someone else has to benefit if that ends up happening.
It's Traquan or I guess, I mean, certainly it's non-zero that Marquez Callaway, that the team views him as better than Traquan. But right now, I'm almost done with like my first big thorough run through of projections. And I have Traquan and Callaway both as being way underdrafted because I'm also not, I think something people are doing is moving Troutman to like a 14-15% target share.
Oh man.
And I just, guy. I just don't know. But I have memories of Troutman.
DFS favorite.
So I actually think probably what ends up happening is Nick Vinette ends up being the starting tight end and just blocking.
Wow. I have fond memories of binking that tilt space GPP with a bagel from Adam Troutman in our lineup. That was a good week at DFS, the Troutman hype.
Who are the guys other than Troutman like that are getting like the biggest hype this year?
I mean, that's a very open-ended question, Dave.
I'm trying to think who has been getting steamed up. I feel like Jalen Hurts, I haven't drafted him at all because he's getting popular. I mean, he's going in what, like 7th, 8th round in a lot of these drafts.
Joe Mixon is being big time steamed all the way up to like middle of the second round.
What about Washington that's guys? One of them.
Yeah, that's, I haven't drafted a single Washington player yet. Their ADPs all seem insane to me. Terry McLaurin goes ahead of CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. And Curtis Samuel is going in the range of like Jarvis Landry, Michael Gallup, and those guys.
Brandon Cooks and those guys. Yeah, even Logan Thomas is going with the top 100 pick.
What is Sam Darnold at right now?
Free.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Completely free.
He's gonna be someone who I have a lot of.
Well, and
if he is free, then I'm gonna have a lot of
and Robbie Anderson is not fully priced compared to his results from last season. You can get him pretty much like cheaper than DJ Moore. This is the ADP that makes the single least amount of sense to me. Devonta Smith being drafted well ahead of where Jalen Reagor went last year. Now I know Ertz is not there, but Philly is for sure gonna pass less. Goddard is also being drafted like a 90th overall ADP. Miles Sanders, third round. Like I just the Devonta Smith ADP seems insane to me.
Yeah, he's been going 7th round pretty consistently. And that's just a tough one too, because I would maybe consider it in Hurts stacks, but you're having to use your 7th and 8th round picks on those two guys, which just seems so pricey.
Rager's playing in the slot this year.
I did see that quote.
Kitchen saw that come across the
slide. Saw that come across the old Twitter.
You actually reported that a few days ago before that even got announced, right?
You know who I'm taking in my three tight end builds, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just with the last pick. Haven't done a draft yet, but totally doing it. Kylan Granson. Just love that guy.
Oh man, he has been steamed up big time too. Big time in the dynasty rookie draft space.
I love how, you know, there's like one press conference where they like reference that he likes
one
him.
Quote.
Yep.
And then when everyone touts him, they all act like they're the ones unearthing this quote. Like, you guys won't believe what I heard. Yes. This guy,
I found this on The Athletic, very deep in a Colts practice notebook.
My most undervalued guy, I took Tevin Coleman with the last pick of a draft.
I'm out completely.
He is going to be the starting running back for the Jets in the 18th round. You are getting him. That's absurd.
Is he though?
I didn't even know what team he was on.
I mean, they're drafting Michael Carter 100 picks ahead of him. There's no reason the draft capital.
I have P. Ryan projected to record the most touches in their backfield.
You think P. Ryan is better? Wait, isn't P. Ryan on the Bengals?
That's Samaj P. Ryan.
No, come on, Peter.
You got to say LaMichael, okay? Samaj is, you know, the preeminent P. Ryan here. my take is just on the ambiguous backfields where we don't
take
know,
the like, cheapest guy.
Yeah, I just think that's absurd. That
I mean, my thing is Coleman has athletically been done for 2 years now. So I mean, the best value of any player available is Daryl Henderson, who is like going to get 150 touches for a, probably a really good Rams offense, and he's 14th round or whatever.
I like Henderson. Another guy right around him that I end up taking is, I'm taking a ton of Devin Singletary because he's going in like the 13th.
Yeah, Jamal Williams.
Too. Oh yeah, he's got the coach hype now, right? Running back Jamal Williams.
Yeah, and I mean the I think the guy who offers the most profit potential, and I know he's just going to make me go broke, but it's meh, Edwards Hilaire. It's because the Chiefs starting running back just should not go in the third round of drafts. It just, I mean, he just shouldn't. Now, I don't know, maybe he's terrible and he gets benched for the mentor, but it feels like even a bad running back can just fall into 10 touchdowns and 1400 yards for the Chiefs.
What's the Damian Williams story? He's with the Bears now?
He's in Chicago, yeah.
Yeah. I've been taking some flyers on him. I always like betting against David Montgomery.
He's like 30 years old now.
But he's fresh, dude. He's fresh.
He didn't play last year.
I do like the CEH thing because if you do start, like if you're at the back end or in the middle and you want to get like the Tyreek Hill, Diggs.
You can grab,
Then you just get CEH as your first running back. But then on the flip side too, if you start with the two running backs, Michael Thomas is still there in third of
so
a lot
good.
Of drafts, which I like those starts a lot too.
Okay. I got a question for you, Pete. Now that everyone is doing the four running back thing.
Yeah.
What has been your response to that? Are you joining them or are you fighting against the current?
So I've done a decent amount of those. I'm now starting to get back to my zero RB roots. Just because I like running backs at so many pockets of the draft where you can get like Travis Etienne and Kareem Hunt, you know, in the fifth, sixth round, then you can go grab a Ronald Jones type. Then you can come get like the Philip Lindsay, Singletary's, those guys late. So yeah, I've been doing like five running back zero RB builds and I like those teams a lot.
So I'm worried that this hyper fragile thing, like I'm not going to do all my teams that way because I don't want to have my portfolio at the end of draft season be like all in on guys I hate, right? Like Chris Carson and Josh Jacobs and just these other guys who you were only drafting because they are a source of like, you know, these guys get 180 points minimum if they stay healthy basically. And I want to be, you know, pretty heavily, like I want to be balanced towards Daryl Henderson, Devin Singletary, Jamal Williams types where they can also rack up points pretty easily. And obviously like then you're just getting the monster wide receiver points.
Yeah. And with the zero RB builds, you can just get a few different types. Like I've been grabbing Raheem Mostert too, as a guy too, where you're like, you know, hopefully banking on some touches at the beginning of the season. You can grab, who's the pass catching back, Nyheim Hines.
Every year, Nyheim Hines.
And then you can grab like the true handcuff types. You can get your Pollards and your Madisons. You just get a blend of those guys and hope you bink the handcuff turning into the starter and you piece it together until that hits. And so I think Leone's talked about that and buying for too. I just like that idea of going hyper fragile, but even with the zero RB builds where you haven't invested a lot and you're just hoping that it breaks your way. It's still $1 million to first and 250,000 to second. I mean, you got to swing for the fences.
What's Rodgers ADP at, and has there been any increase in ADP like from Broncos receivers and speculation?
Rodgers is going 94.
Same as it always is for him, pretty much. Maybe a 5-pick discount, you think, something like that.
Yeah, and I would say I haven't noticed. I guess Judy is maybe going like around ahead of maybe where you would kind of want him to go, but like
I think the price on all the Broncos guys is very justifiable, even if Teddy Bridgewater starts.
Yeah, I would say Tuttle, it's priced as if Rodgers isn't going to be there right now.
No,
Peter, I saw your first ever draft had the Titans stack, the early Titans stack. I liked it. I'm wondering though,
you did.
Yeah, I did. I didn't like it. Like, are people drafting Julio in their Titans stacks right now?
I don't know if I've done enough drafts since that rumor to see if that's actually playing out.
Because that would be a potentially sharp take to do. Well, because even if it doesn't happen, you still have got Julio.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, what is the advantage of trying to do that now if his cost is going to be the same even after that's announced? Or do you think his price goes up on the Titans? I think it'd probably stay around the same.
Oh, man. That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. Davis, what do you think? You think his what's his ADP at right now?
He goes kind of at the 3-4 turn. Like, once Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are off the board, Julio tends to be the next wide receiver.
I guess here's the thing with stacks and best ball is, like, you got guys that typically can go, like, around – earlier just because of the stack.
Yeah. And I will say the Titans are such a weird team right now for stacking, because I've noticed that unless I have Henry or AJ Brown, I don't even think about stacking the Titans, because then it's like, okay, I grab Tannehill, Firkser and like Josh Reynolds, Dez Fitzpatrick. It's not the sexiest stack if you don't get one of the big dogs.
Yeah. You got to get a big dog, but I guess that's the good thing. If you get a big dog or the big dog is that there are some like just freebie wide receiver two, wide receiver three guys out there. Because if they don't get Julio, they are just so thin.
What's your boots on the ground take? Dez Fitzpatrick or Josh Reynolds?
I think Reynolds. Fitzpatrick is going to be more of a special teams guy.
I've been scooping up Reynolds and Fitzpatrick in these drafts.
Yeah.
Like, well, I think the biggest one, if you could figure out if one of these rando Chiefs guys, whether it be Powell or Pringle or D-Rob, you know, like if Hardman just turns out to not be able to play and is still a bit player, I mean, there's 100 targets there for a player in the Chiefs offense to get, because they're going to throw 700 times. I don't know. I've been taking all of them. I've taken D-Rob, Pringle, and Powell all in different drafts.
What's Justin Fields' ADP right now?
He is pretty palatable. Going at 127.
Oh, yeah. 10th round?
Yeah.
I pull the trigger on that. Is there any plans, Peter, for Superflex?
Superflex, best ball, tight end premium.
Yeah.
On Underdog?
Yeah. Like how much pull do you have, basically, is what I'm asking.
I actually reached out to them and I said, I actually kind of know a godfather of this format who I think would be an excellent kind of consultant on how to roll it out and market it. So I might be hitting you up here to kind of help shepherd this new format onto Underdog.
I mean, we could call it the Swolecast special. I mean, as far as
that's very kind of you to share the naming rights with all of us.
Well, yeah, we're a team. Like when Peter is unemployed, we're all unemployed.
Yes, please use promo code Pete. Yeah. I'm actually begging you now.
Yeah, you can borrow some of my insurance, Pete.
It's a good thing you got the. No, I'm not gonna say it. Never mind.
Oh God, you know it's bad. Tuttle,
you're not saying something.
Well, no, I told myself I wouldn't talk about the subject anymore.
You can say Top Shot. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say
Top Shot.
It's a good thing you got the luck, the early influencer payout.
Oh yeah,
from Top Shot.
Which one was that? I haven't taken a penny off the site, and I should have.
They gave you those early withdrawals.
Once NFL comes back,
the early withdrawal perks and the free packs.
I got with my withdrawals that was like 3 weeks ago. It was far too late.
It's because the gifting is because like, I mean, that's the same thing. Like
a complicated gifting history, as Rohan might say. Yes.
I had over 150 gifts in either direction.
And right before I apply, I was the middleman for a pretty big Anthony Edwards MGL Heat.
Ask me about how being a middleman for big transactions and trying to explain that to a mortgage lender is going.
Oh no!
After doing much thought and figuring all this out, had that transaction not happened, actually none of this would have been a big deal and I would have just gotten approved and it would have been fine.
Who was responsible for that transaction?
I mean, me.
Dan Bach.
Yeah, and Dan was great and filled out paperwork for me and was a very good friend, and we got it figured out. It's not a big deal, but that is what was holding up the underwriter from approving me.
That's unbelievable.
I think Dan should cover at least your first four mortgage payments for what you did for him.
Just send him a couple extra invoices that you never send anyway.
Dan has even been, I don't know why he did this. He randomly pinged me to remind me to fill out my invoice last month.
It's because of you, Davis, we have to every month.
It's not because of me. I promise. Toto already blew this story up. It's not because of me.
I promise. We have to check because there was like, you hadn't reported in multiple quarters. And so they had to go back and revise quarterly statements for the company.
It's not true. This cannot.
I'm telling you.
David, I make like literally 0.00001.
It's for accounting purposes.
No, this is a lie. You are lying to the people.
The Action Network acquisition almost didn't happen.
Actually, going back, payroll was actually 0.00001% higher. This
we love everything about this acquisition, but there are some inconsistencies. One is Davis-matic.
Oh man, getting Ravel on the Swolecast this year is going to be epic. It will be epic.
Yeah, when is that? Like, what are the impracticality elements of that merger? Are there going to be talent crossovers?
I mean, there can be. It's not going to be like, we don't pretend like Action Network exists now. It's like there are brother sister sites. So it's like, hey, Darren, hop on over, tweet us out.
I want to see a kitchen Rovell collab.
I feel like those guys have a lot in. They have a lot in common. I feel like.
Yes.
I feel like if I wanted to be like a Ravel character, I could easily like ape into it. Like easily.
You got to get that notebook with your idea.
He does it so well. Yeah, but Superflex. Also another idea, the fantasy football circuit. I think we may have even had that, but as you guys are talking about all the different tournaments, like having a circuit where you average the best finishes of,
What about aping into someone's portfolio and you get to buy like 10% of their best ball action?
Yeah. And we're still going to do the soccer game special, the special draft. Last year was just.
I'm still waiting. Charlie sending out the props to us any day now.
It's happening. Last year was just a.
I completely spaced the props.
I'm really hyped up for it.
I'm going to send you guys props.
You got to pump it up. I feel now with Peter on the show, I mean, he can launch this into, it's really all about promotion and community and getting like thought leaders to hype it up. Like that's what all these altcoins, like all they do is like hype each other up and then they sell early, but we're not going to sell early.
I make a Swole chat, a Swolecast channel in my Discord? Start building out this community.
Oh yeah, or we can have our own, tokenized community.
David, can I tell you something?
What would a Swolecast draft kit look like?
Probably like shit.
Every person who tweets about the Bored Ape community, it makes me want to never read Twitter again.
Davis. That's the one NFT for me right now that's going good. So you can, you got to admit, I bought those for 0.08 ETH and now it's a big community. That is like a legit community. Like that is, it's not like a fake community.
But it's weird.
Punks.
I want to
more of a community than punks. Anyways,
I want to end the show with this. Do you ever think about what would have happened if you just would have bought a punk at the beginning of all this and did nothing else?
Yeah, for sure. but also,
but it's been about the community, important.
It's not just the community, Davis. It's the journey. Like that's a boring journey to just buy a punk and
just
that's
to buy
it.
A punk and then be rich to it just buy a punk.
Give me the highs and the lows and hopefully some more highs.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel the same way.
Well, that's because you're different than me. Like
Kitchen, we haven't had a kind of a meeting of the minds on our NFT box that we collectively own.
Well, yeah, I think the time to shill that might have been passed. But
I actually, now that we talk about it, I don't even think I did have a piece of that.
You do. You do. You do. I haven't taken your piece, but you do. However, I did see that there is potential for a Bored Apes NFT box Punk Comics collab, which, you know, if that's the truth, then we need to sell the hype.
Yeah.
We need to dump this on someone if that's the
case. I wonder who bought the man's coin, number one? Who is it?
That actually sold on the secondary market yesterday.
Who was it?
It was in
no this
or, oh you're
no,
thinking
the 69
Carlini.
No, oh, the 69.
69 is Clairvoyant.
Clairvoyant, yes.
Yeah. He's got an Apes.
He sold it.
No. Sorry, oh. We were confusing two different things. But someone had listed their number one that they had already bought, and Testudo came in and bought it on the secondary market. Big moment for that community.
Testudo is also a fellow Ape member as well.
Yeah.
So what we should do is auction off the 500 box and its contents and add in a few extras. I'll add in a man's coin. You add in, you know, custom appearance.
That's a legit giveaway.
Yeah.
All right. If we're going to do it, let's do this right.
Yeah. Once we get 3,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah, but
Charlie messaged me and he's like, "We've almost got 3,000 subs on YouTube. Don't sell that Kawhi moment." And I was like, "No problem, bud."
Well, what does the original tweet say the Kawhi was worth? We might have to revision.
I don't know. Before we find that out, we got to end this show. So special thanks to Devin for producing this show. Go ahead and like the Swolecast, subscribe, because listen, Pete is unemployed and that means he has tons of time and effort to put into these shows each and every week. The best is yet to come. Thank you, Davis. Thank you, Tuttle. Thank you, Peter. We'll see you next time here on the Swolecast and RotoGrinders.com.